What's up, everyone? This is Mike Cashew, and you're listening to the Brute Strength Podcast. This week, I interviewed Jacob and Sonny Hutton, the two head coaches of Brute Body. Over the past 6 to 12 months, we've gotten dozens and dozens of questions about body transformation, ranging from, what should I eat to lose body fat? What should I eat to gain lean muscle mass? How do I train? How do I get my legs stronger? All of these different questions. And in this podcast, we go into detail about some of those, as well as our program, Brute Body, and how and why we set it up the way we do, what makes it unique, etc. We also have something else to offer you if you want more information on body transformation. You're just looking to, you know, get leaner while continuing to build muscle and get stronger. We have a free ebook. And girls, yours is called 27 Brute Fundamentals for Getting Strong and Lean. Guys, we only gave you 25, but they're a good 25. 25 Brute Fundamentals for Getting Strong and Shredded. I'm not sure if there's a difference in getting lean and shredded, but we figured the guys might like that a little bit more. In this thing, we've got tips for building lean muscle mass, habits to get and stay healthy, fat loss myths. Both of them have a 5-week pull-up progression that, you know, it doesn't matter if you can already rep out 20 and you want to get 25, or if you haven't even gotten your first one, this thing can help you get way, way better at pull-ups, probably faster than you've ever done before. Guys, we have a lot of information on building a bigger bench and chest, while ladies, we have stuff for your glutes. So if you want access to this free ebook, go to brutestrengthtraining.com/fundamentals. brutestrengthtraining.com/fundamentals. Hope you enjoy the show. All right, Jake and Sonny, we are about 2 months into our first launch of Brute Body. And you and I have had a lot of conversations so far about transformation, biggest misconceptions and myths, and as well as how people make huge transformations. So I want to start here. We posted some before and after pictures of your sister, Sonny, and it was a dramatic, dramatic transformation, and people just have a super hard time believing it. And so I want to talk about what it takes to make that kind of transformation. And the reason is, this isn't limited to just Anastasia. It is, anytime we post something about Brooke or Miranda or any girl that is super lean, whether or not they started that way or not, people just have a super hard time believing that it's natural and it's legal and people are playing by the rules and these challenges. So I want to clear up some of that stuff and just explain what it takes to really accomplish that kind of thing.
Okay, so first we'll start with a little bit of background on my sister. She was a D1 soccer player. So she had a kind of unique base going into this transformation challenge. That's not to say that she was in shape going into it at all. She actually came in November to visit for Thanksgiving, and she was in the worst shape I've ever seen in my life. It had been probably 3 years since she was in decent shape at all, and she had pretty much zero muscle mass. And I put her through a workout. She was in awful shape, felt awful, was embarrassed. So she started talking to me about what she can do to make changes. She went for home for the month of December and started kind of introducing workouts 3 times a week, light workouts. And then I told her about the bodybuilding.com transformation challenge. It's a 12-week transformation challenge. She had the chance to win $100,000. So she set that in her sights and kind of used that as her motivation. She took before pictures and then she got started. The reason that the background is kind of important is because she had a knowledge of all of the movements before. She had done strength training before. She had taken herself to a level of training while playing soccer that makes the average person very, very uncomfortable. She knew how to push herself, and so that's kind of her base. So she didn't have to go through that learning period that most people go through. So I think that's kind of the key component of why she was able to make such a dramatic transformation in such a short amount of time. Second, she was very, very dedicated. She's obviously a very dedicated person in anything she sets her mind to. She's about to graduate from oral surgery school. She's been in school since she was 5 years old and has gotten straight A's the entire time. So when she sets her mind to something, she's very dedicated. And I think that's kind of what it takes for somebody to have a transformation or stay at that level of leanness, like a Brooke or a Miranda, and be successful with that is the dedication, consistency, all of that. As far as workouts, that she did a base of what we have for Brute Body, but she has no Olympic lifting background or gymnastics background. So I tweaked that side of things because I wasn't there to help her learn, or she didn't have an access to a CrossFit gym where she could have eyes on her. So I gave her some modifications of things she could do in place of that, but she followed that mixture of strength training, high intensity workouts and conditioning. And then the last component that I think kind of set her apart from everybody else was her nutrition. She followed our war on carbs diet. She took it to another level because she was trying to win $100,000 and did the first 3 weeks with the cheat meals that we have programmed in. And then for the remaining 9 weeks, she ate 100% clean the entire time. She didn't have the cheat meals. She followed the same macros though, but she did it with clean carbs like sweet potatoes, brown rice, Kodiak cakes, that kind of thing. So I think that's why she was able to transform her body so dramatically and get as lean as she got. She got DEXA scanned at 16.9% body fat, and she started at over 25%. So she lost a significant amount of body fat and increased her muscle mass.
So I think most CrossFitters can relate to, you know, working really, really hard, being really, really dedicated. Why do you think this population still has such a hard time believing these kind of transformations? Like, what are the biggest things that Anastasia did differently that people are making mistakes on? Where's the biggest difference?
I think that she was completely consistent the whole time. I think a lot of people run into the problem of social events come up and they will go out and drink with their friends, or they will want that piece of birthday cake at a birthday. She said no to all of that. She had events come up and she was bringing her little Tupperware like a bodybuilder would. And a lot of people feel very uncomfortable with that kind of thing. But I think that's where the biggest difference comes with the average person or average CrossFitter that's trying to make a transformation is they'll be like, oh, one or two days out of the week, as long as I'm good most of the other time. And same thing goes with training. She woke up, she had 12-hour days. She's in oral surgery residency right now. She woke up at 4:30 every single morning, went and worked out. On days that she had two-a-days programmed in from me, she went in and hit her second session after she'd worked for 12 hours. And I think that's kind of the biggest thing, is staying 100% consistent through the entire time that you're trying to transform your body.
Yeah, I think most people just don't know that level of sacrifice. They know really hard work for a couple hours a day, and some people maybe not even that much, but they don't make the sacrifices in nutrition. They take some off days. They're not recovering properly, all of that kind of stuff. And just to be clear, for anybody listening to this, we're not saying that you have to do this. We're trying to explain how some people are able to do this, and it takes pretty much a perfect, you know, them perfectly adhering to the program, whatever that program and nutrition plan might be. Jake, can you kind of set up, like, explain the basis for transformation for everybody? Like, what are the key components that people need to be aware of when they're, you know, about to start changing their body? I'm talking about training, like exercises, rep ranges, nutrition. Just what are the basic fundamentals when, like, what is the best way to go about that?
I have like one of the biggest things I see is people go into the gym, if they don't follow a program, so let's say we're doing like a hypertrophy rep range, and we pick a body part that probably isn't going to affect your, let's just go arms for instance, right? Everyone, like lots of guys want big arms. So I see guys all the time doing a weight that for 12 reps that they can probably hit for 30. And I see it in my gym all the time, in CrossFit gyms all the time, because people are kind of conditioned to save themselves, right, to keep going. You have to go to complete failure to build muscle, right? So I think that's one thing, and maybe that's why a lot of CrossFitters, they see this and they're like, oh, they're on steroids. It's like, well, no, you don't. When we tell you to go to failure, you need to fail, and then you need to push past failure, and that's how we're trying to build muscle. We're gonna, and another thing too is people don't really, the biggest mistake I see is a lack of eating protein. Like we tell these people, like we start people off on, because our program is very intense, you know, so we try to treat them like they're an athlete, right? So we might start them with over a gram of protein per pound of body weight, and that's surprising to people. And we try to program it without shakes. And the reason we do that, like, are shakes beneficial? Yeah, but no one built a great body by just drinking 5 shakes a day, right? So we try to get people out of that habit. So a lot of our programs are designed to hit your macros just in food and then shakes on top of that. And I'm a big believer in lean protein. Yeah, it has calories, but those calories are very hard to turn into fat. Like I mean, you know me, dude, I've experimented with every diet, like every diet under the sun, just like see what I've like fasted for days on end, just to see how it affects my body. But like I did for probably 3 months once, I ate 500 grams of protein a day just in food. Just because Kai Greene's like a really popular bodybuilder, right? And so he was talking about, and obviously he is on steroids. And so the way that his body uses protein is a little bit different, but I forgot the grams that he was taking in a day, but it was absurd. Like it blew my mind. And he's like, the assumption that the old like thing where you can only digest 30 grams of protein or use it at once, he's like, I just don't believe in that. And I was like, all right, let me try to. I used to eat 300 grams a day, pretty much every day through college football. That I just wanted to bump it up a little bit to see what happened, and I went from floating around 235 to being like 255 shredded. And everyone says, oh, you got to be on steroids to get that big, but no, it's a job to eat that much. Like to eat a pound of meat every time that you have a meal, like that's a job. And people, I think that's the biggest thing, that you got to commit. If you want to transform your body, you got to commit to a lifestyle change. You got to commit to prepping your food, having your meals ready, and doing everything right. And that's how you're going to make that kind of transformation in that short of time. And it is like what we said from the beginning. So this is why people always talk shit, man. They always talk shit on me. I can change my body fast as shit. And I'm strong. Like I worked a long time to get as strong as I am. At one point I was bench pressing 550 pounds raw, right? So like last year I didn't bench at all because I was trying to get more upper body mobility for muscle ups and things like that. I was trying to lose body weight. So I didn't bench probably for 8 months, right, through the games. And then I started benching again. I think the first week I benched, I barely got 365, which for me was like embarrassing, right? Well, 2 weeks later, I hit 425 for 3. And so like, are those strength gains normal for someone else to build that strength? No, but like my body's already been there. And so I guess what I'm saying is if I start eating 300 grams of protein a day and I can hit... Well, I texted everyone because someone was talking shit on something that I did. Remember, I texted out like our group of people and I said, do people not understand that when I can hit 315 for sets of 20, like how fast I can grow my chest? Like it's just, it is a different level. Like maybe everyone can't transform their body that fast, but it is possible. And so that's what goes back to Anna. Like she, growing up, was one of the fastest people in the state. So she was, I grew up with her. She was my age. I mean, the only person that was beating her was Sunny, my wife. So she, I remember just, I was like, oh, Anna's about to smash these people. And then Sunny just came by and just flew by her, you know. But she had that capacity. She's very fast twitch. She had an endurance base from soccer. And so she basically just let herself fall off because she was super busy and then committed back to that. And the places that she can take herself are just different than other people can. And I guess that's the, if you've never been there before, if you want to transform like that, you have to commit to being able to take yourself to a dark place. Like it's not gonna be easy. Like you gotta, every day when you're in the gym, it's gonna be a battle, a mental battle. Like I wanna quit. And then you just gotta keep bursting through that and taking yourself to the next level. And that's how you go from being chubby to being diced up in 3 months. That's just how you gotta do it.
So obviously CrossFit in general is like the most effective for the average Joe and for the general population. It's the most effective training program for changing your body that I think the world has ever seen. What is the difference in what we're talking about right now?
You mean like the type of training we're doing compared to CrossFit? Well, I think why CrossFit is so successful, I'll start with that, is because of adherence. People have, they come into the community, someone's telling them what to do, and it's easy for them to just keep doing it every day. And they love doing it, right? They get addicted to it. So what we do, Brute Body is CrossFit. We do CrossFit Metcons and stuff like that, but we have a mixture of everything, right? So every day there's some Olympic lifting. Every day there's a powerlifting component. Every day there's accessory bodybuilding work. And it's basically how I would program for a collegiate athlete. It's almost exactly like that, except for I wouldn't have a collegiate athlete necessarily do Metcons. They probably do, obviously, some field work, sprints, stuff like that, like more specific to their sport. But the lifting is more like a collegiate athlete, and the goal is to get strong, put on muscle, get explosive. And so we use the tools from every avenue of exercise, right? Olympic lifting, powerlifting, bodybuilding. We combine those together, program it in a smart way, and people get results faster.
One thing to add to that is my sister noticed a drastic change when she started implementing in Metcon work. She said that she felt her body tighten up instantly, like within a week. She fell in love with it. It was easy for her to maintain those Metcon style workouts because it mixed it up for her. And I think that that's kind of why this style of training is so effective and beneficial, because it adds variety, but it's also that high intensity work that people can just keep doing and they love it. So it definitely helped my sister out with the 3 months.
So what do y'all think is what are the biggest mistakes that people in the CrossFit community, because that's, you know, the majority of people listening to this are in that community. What are the biggest mistakes they're making in training? Because they're obviously doing the Metcons. Why are they hitting plateaus in their body composition? And how do you want to talk about that?
Well, I think you kind of touched on it earlier. A lot of CrossFit gyms, at least what I've seen, and even been a part of some that I just don't agree with sometimes the way that people are programming. They come in, warm people up, and just do a long Metcon, right? Most people don't do that, but to change your body, so let's think about it. People want to get strong, and they do Metcons, right? So a lot of CrossFit gyms will be like, let's go 5 sets of 2, strict overhead press, and then they'll go into a Metcon, right? So that's their strength for the day. Well, that's not a rep range. It's going to build you very much muscle. And then you're going straight into cardio work, basically what a Metcon is, right? So you got to choose the right rep ranges to build muscle. If you build muscle, obviously your caloric needs are going to raise instantly, and then it's going to be easier to lose body fat. I mean, the more muscle, for me right now, so I'm coming off an ACL surgery, I'm out of shape. My legs are starting to get huge again. I've lost body fat. I probably swapped 10 pounds, right, of body fat. I've been lazy. It's embarrassing. But I probably, just by lifting my legs again, gained 10 pounds of muscle and then just lost 10 pounds of fat without much effort cardiovascularly. But I can just eat more food. I can get away with more. I didn't change my diet. Like, I'm not eating as clean as I should right now. But adding that muscle just makes everything easier. And that's one thing I tell people. It's hard to get there. So like for Anna, that was hard. It was hard for her to get to where she is. Sorry, I changed the subject. But it's very hard to transform, but it's easy to maintain it if you have even 75% of the commitment that you put into that transformation. So you can get away with, so this is how we, when people are looking at our diets right now, they're like, we're getting a lot of emails like, are we going to keep going after this? Like, I love the training, but like, are we going to have more diet options? I'm like, yeah, like some of these carb cycling diets, for me, I enjoy them, they're sustainable, but most people can't sustain that long term, right? Our goal is to get them to transform their body and then get them on something they can do long term, right? So maybe for me, I like to do extreme carb cycling where I won't have hardly any carbs for a couple of days and then just eat whatever I want. And I can do that all the time. Like, if I want to get really lean, that's what I'll do for a few weeks, right? But then at the same time, there's another diet called carb backloading, right? And what you do is at night you get to eat carbs and kind of eat whatever you want, right? And once I'm lean, as long as I work out hard every day, then I'm allowed to eat whatever I want. And I think that's one thing that people get discouraged during a transformation. They're like, gosh, I have to do this forever to have this body. Like, no, get the body, commit to keep working hard, and then you're afforded way more food options and like to eat whatever you want. You can fit more in. And I think that's kind of the light at the end of the tunnel that some people miss, and that's why they don't follow through or finish their transformation. Because once you got the body, you can keep the body.
I just want to back up for just a second and explain this point. So Jake is his example was, and we'll come back to nutrition in just a second, but his example was a lot of gyms will do very low rep, high intensity, so very heavy lifts at the beginning of the workout. So he said 5 sets of 2, let's say back squat. What that's doing is it's predominantly training your central nervous system. And none of this stuff that we're talking about is black and white. We're definitely generalizing, but it's predominantly training the central nervous system. And then you're going into a Metcon, which has a large cardio component. What we're missing for this body transformation piece is in that middle range. So between 5 and 15 reps is where you're really taxing the muscular system and you're tearing up a lot of muscle tissue. And that's what signals to the brain to make the muscles grow, right? Then you take all of that extra protein that you're eating and it makes your muscles grow. As far as nutrition, Jake, how are these diets that you're talking about different from the paleo diet, paleo diet, and zone? Like why are they working faster to help people lose body fat and put on muscle mass?
Well, I mean, I know what paleo is, but that's one thing I've never done, because it's basically just a guideline of what you can eat, right? It doesn't tell you how much to eat. It's like, is there any paleo diet that tells you, oh, you got to follow these macros? Yeah, so everything that we do is you give a set number of macros. So a lot of our diets are carb cycling diets. We have some just flexible dieting stuff too, but it's you have to hit this many grams of protein, this many carbs on this day, and it's based around a training plan. So I'm under the school of thought that, so a lot of people say, oh, have your high carb day on your leg day, right? So for carb cycling. So carb cycling, let's explain carb cycling a little bit. It's basically just you're cycling carbs throughout the week. So maybe you can do it a million different ways. So one way that we do it, one of our diets is called Get Lean. So like Monday will be a low carb day. Tuesday will be a super low carb day. So only green veggies are allowed because they just don't really have a big impact on your insulin, and it really gets you depleted of muscle glycogen, right? And then Wednesday will be your high carb day. Well, the way that we've developed the training plan is going into Monday, you'll be pretty full of glycogen, right? So, I mean, this is an extreme fat loss plan. So that's one thing to think about. So Monday is basically like an upper body specific day. Glycogen depletion on that day. Won't be huge, right? So you have low carbs, you get to keep your glycogen levels a little bit higher going into Tuesday. Tuesday is a very, very hard leg day, and that will deplete your muscle glycogen. It's gonna be a hard Metcon after that leg day. The leg day is long. It's just big compound movements that are going to deplete your muscle glycogen. And then going into Wednesday, we have it structured that you do core and cardio, and basically it's a longer cardio segment. So you go into that day being depleted of muscle glycogen in the hopes of tapping into your body fat stores for energy while you're doing it. And it does work. I've done it a lot. It works very, very fast. And then after that day, that is when you'll restore your muscle glycogen and have a high carb day, right? So a lot of people, they'll throw their higher carb day on their leg day. But to me, I guess it doesn't make sense, because those carbohydrates, like muscle glycogen, I don't have an exact stat, but different. So depending on how you try to replenish it, it can take up to like 22 hours to replenish muscle glycogen. So to say that you should have a high carb day on your leg day, it's not even going to affect that workout. So why don't we have it? Why don't we get you depleted, tap into your body fat, carb you up, and then it'll affect the next two workouts going into Thursday, Friday, you're depleted again, hit your cardio Saturday, and then you carb back up. And so all of our diets right now are built around the training plan, and they're built to eat your carbs when you're glycogen depleted. And what that's going to also do, you're depleted of muscle glycogen, so the chances of you eating too many carbohydrates that it will I use the term spillover. Spillover, and you're not going to use them to replenish muscle glycogen, are a lot lower, right? So you can get away with more because you're so glycogen depleted. Because what's going to happen if you're so say you eat a bunch of carbs and the next day you don't do anything, you eat a bunch more carbs. Well, your muscle glycogen is already replenished, and those carbohydrates got to go somewhere. So if you're not using them for energy, the chances of them turning into body fat are a lot higher. So basically, this whole structure of the program and the diets are built around that thought.
So this is not necessarily a diet built for overall health, guys. This is something to help you lose body fat as rapidly as possible. And it basically, any more extreme than this, you're just not going to be able to stick to for a very long time. Your mood is going to change, all of that kind of stuff. So these diets are all, like he said, based around the training and based on losing body fat as fast as possible. So the biggest difference in these other diets, those are lifestyle diets, paleo and zone. And this is these are diets to transform your body. Okay, so we have a different form of training, like higher volume, a lot of stuff that most CrossFitters have never even seen before or done before, and a more extreme diet. In your opinion, guys, who are the kind of...
Can I say one thing?
Yeah.
So there's no reason you can't be paleo on this diet. So I guess the difference is paleo is a lifestyle. We're giving you the certain macros to hit, but you can definitely do paleo and be on this diet. You just have to fit it in your macros. And so so when I'm trying to eat clean, even just most of my life, I don't hardly touch dairy, and I'm gluten-free just because I don't digest it very well. You know, I'm not a gluten hater. Don't think I'm a gluten hater, man. I love gluten.
That's very cool of you.
But I just get heartburn. Anyway, so, I mean, I pretty much eat paleo with rice. Oh, and potatoes. And because I don't really see a problem with those. I try to eat a diet that's low inflammatory, and that's basically what paleo is, right? That's why it's so great for you, and that's why it's a great lifestyle diet. But there's no reason you can't fit paleo into a macro plan.
Thank you for clearing that up. I like that. In your opinion, what are the characteristics of the guys and girls that make the biggest transformation? So we talked about adherence and consistency are the two most important pieces to transformation. What characteristics do these people have that end up making the biggest changes?
I think that people that make the biggest transformations are the people that are willing to push themselves out of their comfort zone, like Jake was saying, go to that dark place. Also, people that make transformations are people like my sister, who is naturally super athletic, super strong, super explosive, things like that. But that's not to say that people who aren't naturally like that can't make transformations like that. They might have to work a little bit harder than somebody who's naturally blessed with those abilities. But I think that that's kind of another key component, is somebody who is willing to lift heavy weights and pick the heaviest thing that they can do for lunges on a workout, things like that. They aren't picking like 10-pound dumbbells and doing lunges in that manner.
I mean, really what it is a mental game in every area, right? So what is their adherence to the diet? Their adherence to the diet is a huge component, right? That's a mental component. But the other side of mentally being able to take yourself somewhere, especially like in CrossFit, if you're doing a Metcon, one reason at my gym, I try to do a lot of interval work and not just give people like, all right, we're doing a 20-minute AMRAP today. Because unless you have a good fitness base, a lot of people are just standing around for half of that AMRAP, right? So I like to do things where like, look, you're hitting this. Like, let's see where you're at on your max 1-minute row. And now you got to hit like 80% of that for the next 10 intervals in a minute, right? So the mental game of being able to take yourself somewhere where it's going to change your body is huge in the weight room and while you're lifting weights, though, right? So like the same thing going to failure, but mentally being able to do that every day you go into the weight room. Like that's hard to do. Or take yourself to the next level on that heavy set of back squats. Like are you really taking it as heavy as you can go? Or learning how to max, I guess is what I'm saying. So you do a max out day, Like, some people, I think, mentally fail before their body does, right? And that's one reason they're not getting stronger. Well, that's another, them not taking their body to where it can physically because they're weak mentally is not allowing them to transform their body. So I think that's a huge component.
So we'll talk about some ways that we increase consistency and stuff in a little bit. But first, let's talk about some like frequently asked questions, some common questions. Is it possible to lose body fat while getting bigger, while building muscle?
Definitely. I've done it with, I mean, genetics has a huge part in it too, right? But I've done it with almost any college athlete that I've worked with that went from eating McDonald's twice a day to following a diet and doing a structured lifting plan. When I was training for the combine, this was the biggest example. So training for the combine, we get set up in an apartment and...
Are you talking about the grid combine?
Yeah. I get set up in an apartment. My roommate is this little wide receiver from Oregon State. And he, like when he came in, he did not look like a college football player. And he was 167 pounds and he had 14% body fat. In 8 weeks, he weighed 180 pounds and he had 8% body fat. So he gained 13 pounds and lost 6% body fat. And that shit was legit as possible. He was in there. We had a meal service. And I mean, I've always been obsessed with food and stuff. And I'm like, this just isn't enough food. So we canceled the meal service, started buying our own groceries, and I started helping him eat. And he just went from basically playing Nintendo and hanging out, eating McDonald's twice a day. That's literally what he would do. He's like, oh, dude, I just go get something to eat twice a day, you know, to eating five times a day, eating more protein than he had ever eaten. And genetically, he was obviously like a very fortunate guy, right? Like he was training for the combine for a reason. He was a great wide receiver. The dude had hands, like he was fast, but his body just didn't look it. And then he committed to 8 weeks of just working hard and just transformed his body completely.
I want to touch on something that y'all keep bringing up. So this part about genetics. So people with fast twitch muscle fiber, like predominantly fast twitch muscle fibers, your fast twitch muscles, everybody's got them. Some people just have a higher percentage of them. Those are the bigger, showier muscles. So people with a high percentage of those muscles in their body are going to naturally be able to look better. And as soon as they try to start to transform their body, those big muscles are going to kind of come to the forefront a little bit faster. But like Sonny was saying earlier, once any human being loses a certain amount of body fat, gets below 12%, you start seeing abs, you start seeing muscle definition all over the place. So people with those genetics just tend to have those gains and see those changes a little bit faster. Sonny, what does the word toning mean? And how does that relate to like people that are afraid of getting bulky and stuff like that?
I'm glad you actually said that. I run women's challenges and things like that at my gym. I work with a lot of women. And their main thing that when they come in and say is they want to get toned. I tell them immediately, like, toning is building muscle. So if you are building muscle and not changing your diet, that's when you're going to get bulky. You're going to just get bigger because you're getting muscle, but you're still maintaining that body fat layer that you have. So it really is a combination of strength training and diet that you have to do to get that toned look. And people that are toned, I say that with quotation marks around it, actually have a ton of muscle mass. They just are lower body fat and it shows up as that like long lean look that most women are after. If you want to take it to the level where you have more muscle mass, and some women do, they want to get that like big buff look. It's just a matter of eating more food, lifting heavier weights. So I think that's kind of my two cents on the toning thing.
I love that. My next question, what are the most important components of building a better booty?
I can answer this one. So it's the You know those rotating stairs?
Oh, stop.
You walk on those, I guess.
According to fitness models.
I've seen that a lot on Instagram. So that'll just build you a great ass.
Shut it.
I don't know. What do you got?
I definitely think doing heavier weights than most people think. We program in reverse lunge. I think that's been one of the biggest components when I actually am training hard and eating right, that I see the biggest change in my glutes is those reverse lunges. I'm able to go super heavy on them. I think we maxed out one time at the old gym. We had a competition and I was able to hit 245 on a reverse lunge, which is like pretty close to what my back squat max is, just because of flexibility issues and things like that. People doing that exercise and challenging themselves with the weight is the way we want you to do it, is loading the hamstring and glute. It's putting all that weight on there. And we also do it from an elevation. That's been like the number one component. But I think building a booty comes down to doing the exercises, flexibility, lifting heavy weights, and the nutrition component.
What about building bigger tits?
You'll have to ask Jake about that.
So what I try to do is, Brennan, we FaceTime, and then while we're talking, we just pop our titties at each other.
Oh.
It works so good. No, I guess I'm like kind of, well, you guys know me as the big chest guy. I don't know, man. I just was obsessed with bench when I was younger. It's kind of pathetic. But to build a bigger chest, hypertrophy work. A lot of people aren't doing it.
What is hypertrophy work?
So like what you were saying. So, I mean, if we're going to call it a rep range, let's go 8 to 12, something like that. But failing in that rep range. So one thing that we do a lot of the time, people are always like, oh, you don't want to go to failure. Yeah, that's true on some things. Definitely big compound movements, going to failure all the time is going to affect your central nervous system, right? Bench press, I don't think it does as much. I can go to failure every day on that and I'm fine. But maybe for some people it does, and we don't program people to failure a lot on bench press. I like to go past failure if we're really trying to gain muscle, but then the accessory work, so dumbbell bench, things like that, dumbbell rows, if you're trying to build muscle, like you can go to complete failure on all that stuff if you're trying to build a bigger upper body without a problem. For your lower body, it's going to be harder because going to failure on a back squat, I mean, throw 315 out, you might be able to hit that 60.
Yeah, you just start overtraining at a certain point because that's taxing your central nervous system so much more, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, you can push through it, your form can just break down. You just don't want to do that as frequently. And I think that's one thing that, weirdly enough, people do a lot in CrossFit. Like, they get a little maxed out all the time. And they're wondering why they're not getting any stronger. Like, they never break it back down to the basics, and maybe they're hitting four sets of 20 and building a cycle from there, 15, 10, getting strong, then building it back down, heavy sets of five, and working 3 months or 6 months to get a new PR instead of just thinking they can go heavy all the time and go into the gym and try to get one. There's only so long that's going to work, you know, so.
And what about the gun show? The gun show has gotten such a bad rap in the CrossFit community. How do we, obviously we don't promote we don't tell people that should be the base of their program, but how do we marry the two, right? We're trying to train to get stronger, more athletic, be complete athletes, but we're doing the gun show. What's that about?
Why would you not want to have big arms? That's just stupid. We just added in a little bit. So for Brute Body, it's in there a little bit. Just try to take it to failure. One thing that's great about arm stuff that helps you as a CrossFitter is it helps clean up all that like forearm garbage and elbow pain, because you kind of just like isolate the muscle a little bit. Doing that once or twice a week, I don't see any problem with that.
So the difference here, like CrossFit in general, is based on functional movements, and we are 100% in agreement with that. These are just added in just for show, right? This is not the stuff that's gonna transform your body. It's not the stuff that's gonna help you lose a lot of body fat. But it's just something that we add in there. Yeah, go ahead.
Let me just defend the gun show a little more. If you're saying it's not functional. So the strongest that I've ever been on bench press, the reason that I got, that I was able to burst through plateaus is by going heavy on skull crushers. And that's just the bottom line. That's my triceps got so strong. I got up to skull crushing 225 for a couple reps. That's pretty functional, man. You can push someone right off your head that weighs 225 pounds in a skull crushing motion.
All right, let's wrap it up after this. How is Brute Body different from other transformation programs out there? And tell me about, tell people what they can expect from Brute Body.
I think Brute Body is different because we follow a progression. We've gotten some questions recently from our current members about, you know, we're doing some of the same stuff week one through week four or something. Not everything's the same. The metcons are always varied, but the strength is the same. And that goes back to how you would train a college athlete. We go through progressions to build strength, build muscle size, really transform the body. And I think that that's one of the main components that's different. It is a progression, but it's not a cookie cutter program. I've seen programs from like bikini models or things like that where they're transformation programs, and they'll say, go hit the leg press 3 sets of 10, but it doesn't give percentages, anything like that. It doesn't have you max out your leg press and then tell you, you know, you're going to hit 50% of that for 15 reps or something. It just gives you like some machine work and some generalized things, but this is really a tried and true progression system with a ton of different movements added in for the metcons.
Yeah.
All right, thanks guys. So we are about to wrap up our first go round of Brute Body. So everybody be on the lookout for those transformation photos. Go to brutestrengthtraining.com/programs for more info on the program. And then guys, where can they find you both on social media?
Pretty creative handle, Jacob Hutton 1 on Instagram.
Mine's even better, Sunny Hutton.
Nice. And I'm at Michael Cazux, that's Cazayoux. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.